Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk about giving. What's the big deal? So we're talking in our stewardship about harvest time. There are some handouts there for the just to give out. So you can connect and go along with us with the message and engage with us as we engage the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everybody say giving. What's the big deal? So in Acts 20:35, you have it there in your handout. I have shown you every way by laboring like this, that you must support the who? The weak. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus' words. If you have a red letter edition Bible, it shows you in red. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. The Message Bible says it this way, in everything I've done, I have demonstrated to you how necessary it is to work on behalf of the weak and not exploit them. That's a good thing. You'll not likely go wrong if you keep remembering that our master said you are far happier giving than getting. You're far happier giving than getting. Now, there are 500 verses in the Bible on prayer, and there are 500 less verses on faith. But there are over 2,000 verses on finances or money in the Bible. So Jesus says a lot about money. He taught more about money than he did about prayer and about faith. And so you get a chance to put little slots in there, little inserts in there. The truth and reality is that finances affects our heart and our head and our habits. Finances affects our heart, our head, and our habits. Now, let's just go back and just kind of cover giving 101 just a little bit. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men shall put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And so we talked very extensively last week about the law of the measure. And the law, there's two measures. There's the measure of the heart, and there's the measure of the seed. And so we both get to determine that measure. So he said, with the same measure you use, in other words, you got a measure of your heart, which is your faith, your love intention, amen, and your motivation of your heart. And so that's the measure of your heart. What is your heart like when you're giving? And 2 Corinthians talks about those whose heart is in their giving. God blesses those who give from the heart. Amen. Amen. And then, of course, there is a measure of the seed, the amount. The amount is also measured. So God using the measuring component, an accounting component of your giving based on those two measurements. Now, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, let each of you as he purposes where? In his heart. In his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what kind of giver? Cheerful. What kind of giver? Cheerful. Not a fearful giver, not a tearful giver. Now, see, here's some truths we need to embrace about giving to consider. Point number one, I've got 6 points there, and you just fill in the slot if you want and follow along with us. Giving is a natural reaction of our heart, but it's an unnatural response to our flesh. Giving is a natural reaction of our heart, but it's an unnatural response to our flesh. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. For this is the reason why so many people who want to give do not give. Did you realize that studies show that 40% of Christians don't give at all? They go through the whole year and don't have any contributions to show for. And less than 20% of Christians regularly tithe. We call it fair weather tithing. They tithe when everything's good and good, going good, and they got money. But when they're coming up short or running behind, or maybe it's not fair weather or friendly weather, it's a hurricane, perhaps circumstantially, or it's a problematic or pressure financially, then they withhold their giving. They hold back on their giving. And so we have to ask the question, do we want to give to help the hurting, homeless, or helpless? The answer is usually yes. Do you want the lost to be saved, the lonely to find a church home and a family, and the young to grow up with Christ? Everybody say it with me. Yes. See, the struggle comes because our heart counts differently than our flesh. Our flesh sees life as a zero-sum game. But our hearts see possibilities beyond this life. Point number two, giving sets in motion the laws of heaven, which will remain dormant regardless of how much you pray. Now, Malachi 3:10 tells us this, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Here's the rub. Now, some people get mad when we say something like this, but I want to give it to you like the scripture teaches. How did they rob God? They withheld their what? Tithes and offerings. And some people are praying for God to increase them and to provide for them. But see, prosperity has conditional promises. Conditions have to be met. What's the condition? You pray all night, you put in prayer requests till the cows come home, you get 15 prosperity scriptures and pray them to God and stand on them? No, you got to do something. Isaiah 1:19 says, you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. That means you got to be willing to do what God tells you to do. And in the case of finances, in the case of generosity, in the case of abundance, it always starts with us giving. Amen. Obeying his laws of giving and receiving. So some people say, well, I can't afford to tithe, or I can't afford to give. Well, you can't afford not to. Because the Bible says he gives seed to who? The sower. He doesn't give seed to the saver and the sucker or the whole backer. He gives seed to the who? Sower. So if your heart is into sowing so that you can reap, amen, you don't eat your seed, you sow your seed, you're not focusing on your needs, you're focusing on the harvest. Amen. The classic examples is in 1 Kings 17, the widow woman of Zarephath did what? What did she do? She had got instruction from the prophet Elijah, got instruction from the Lord, and said, go down to the Zarephath to a widow I've commanded her to provide for you, in short. And then he asked her for a cup of water. She went to go get him a cup of water. And then while she was going to get a cup of water, he said, make me a morsel of cake. And she turned around and said, man of God, I don't have anything but one handful of meal. I was going to gather sticks and make one pancake for me and my son. We're going to split it up and we're going to eat it and die. But he said, go and do as you said, but make me a cake what? First. So you had to change your mindset. That means you got to put God first. You got to put the Lord first. Many people want to have and get, but they don't think about the principle is you give.
That's right.
Yeah. The first principle of the law of sowing and reaping is that whatever you sow, if you don't sow nothing, you don't get anything.
Amen.
Amen. And so you have to give to get. You have to give to receive. If you hold on and wait to get, you're deceiving yourself. I guess y'all don't like this part of it. See, the widow woman and the other widow woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, she goes to the man of God and says, my husband, Your servant, he was in the school of prophets, is dead, and the creditors, that means your credit's way up here. The bills are way up here. You're under your eyeballs in debt. You might be swimming underwater in debt. You might be so behind you can't even see ahead. Y'all didn't get that. Okay. and so you're underwater, so to speak. And she said, "He's coming to take my sons." In other words, their collectors are coming. Amen. The debt is piled up. And she said, "What do we do?" What did he have her do? He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Then he asked her, "What do you have what in your house?" God always expects you to do something so that he can do something. Amen. And that doing something is always usually giving. And some people say, "Well, I got tax bills due. I got hospital bills overdue. I've got credit card bills way past due. I've got loans way past due. And the creditors are coming. What do you do?" Well, you don't sit there and wait for God to drop money on you out of heaven. You don't pray all night and have everybody else pray with you that my finances get better. Amen. Woo, y'all quiet in this room. Hallelujah. She said, "What's in your house?" She said, "I don't have anything but a cruse of oil, bottle of oil." He said, "All right, go borrow vessels. Borrow not a few." That means get a whole bunch of borrow. Well, he said, "And then take that oil and pour it out into all those vessels." And she did that. She obeyed divine instruction. She obeyed divine instruction. Are you listening to me? Yes. She obeyed divine instruction. She didn't sit there and just let the creditors take her son and get swallowed up. She didn't just sit there and do nothing. She obeyed divine instruction. Amen. What do you have to do? Look at somebody next to you and say, "You got to obey. You got to obey." Come on, look at somebody and tell them, "You got to obey divine instruction." So she sat there and poured out the oil, and then she went back to the man of God. "I did that." She said, "Now go sell that oil, pay off that debt, and live off the rest." Amen. Now she went from them creditors coming to take her babies, her two boys, and take all her stuff to paying off all her debt and having a supernatural debt cancellation and retirement in the same miracle. Now, listen to this very carefully. Divine order is the prerequisite for miracles. Divine order is a prerequisite for miracles. We see in John chapter 2, when they wanted wine and they were out of wine, this is at a wedding. She went to Jesus and Mary told the servants and said, "Whatever he says to you, do it." That's where the Nike got the "just do it." Just do what he says for you to do. Everybody say it with me. Obey divine instruction. So when Jesus said, "Fill the water pots up," they filled them up to the brim. Now these were heavy, 40-pound, 50-pound water, ceramic water pots. They were big, so two people had to carry them when they fill up with water. These are big ones. And then he said, "Go draw out now to the..." They obeyed divine instruction. What is the Lord telling you to do? Now, everybody in this room, perhaps you've got some financial situation that you're addressing, or you're trying to get through or get over. Some of you are trying to break through to another level. Wherever you're at, wherever you may be status-wise, God has divine instruction for you to obey. He's, as his child, he loves you so much, he's not going to leave you in the pit. He's not going to leave you wallowing around, hung up on your problems. He wants to get you free and see you financially free. Everybody say, obey divine instruction. See, that was enough for you to come to church and comb your hair and look real pretty, which many of you do, look real pretty and look real handsome to come to church today. Amen. Obedience to divine instruction is the prerequisite for provision. Obedience to divine instruction is the prerequisite for provision. Divine order is the prerequisite for miracles. God's not just going to put everything on his shoulders because he can't rain dollar bills out of heaven to get it to you. That means he's requiring you to do something. You cooperate with him by your faith and obedience. You cooperate with him by your faith and obedience. Well, Pastor, are you saying prayer doesn't work? No, I'm saying prayer for provision without giving doesn't won't work. Prayer for provision without giving won't work. Many people want prayer, but they don't want to give. Biblical obedience is the basis of prayer. You go in prayer to get what? Everybody say divine instruction.
Divine instruction.
That means the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what to do.
Amen.
Either he's going to tell it to you from the word, from you getting in the word and praying with the word, or he's going to give it to you through a word. That means somebody like a pastor is going to talk to you and you're going to hear the Holy Spirit talk to you.
Amen.
You're going to hear the Lord talk to you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to obey. Everybody say it with me one more time. Obey, divine instruction. There was a poor man outside of one church in Nigeria, and he was begging. He was collecting cans, picking up nickels and pennies off the ground. And Bishop Oyedepo drove up to him and saw him basically panhandling or just begging out there and trying to pick up nickels and pennies and trying to bum. You know, we got to get out of that bum mentality. Amen. We're children of God.
Amen.
You're royal priesthood. You're a holy nation.
Amen.
You're God's own chosen special people.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You're so wealthy beyond your brother's dreams.
Right.
Your God supplies all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? He's the God who is more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He's not El Cheapo.
Amen.
And so he's bummed. And he said, sir, your answers are not out here. So some people are looking for answers out here. Or they're looking for people to give them an answer here. He said, it's in there. He went in there, heard the word, heard a word from God, got an idea for business, began working on it, began tithing.
Amen.
Progressive, and his business got so big. He said, in a matter of 3 years, he wrote a $10 million tithe tip.
Praise God, glory to God.
He had an international business. His tithe was $10 million. He came and handed it to him, and he handed him a personal check for $10 million. Why? He was obeying what? Divine instruction. Is there any limit on God?
Yeah.
Then why do we limit him?
Amen.
When we look to other people and we look around at other things and we put limits on God.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
How many would you like to write a $10 million check? That would certainly help the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's two of you, so everybody's hand should be up. Praise God. I just like to have that capacity to give a $10 million check. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
We're not doing this to get and be greedy.
Amen.
Prosperity is not a money message. It's an obedience message.
Amen.
It's so that we can do our job and do our assignment and help those in need.
Amen.
It's so we can make an impact and make a difference in the world we live.
That's right. Amen.
It's not about our fancy clothes, cars, and houses. It's about the kingdom, about what we're doing for God. Are you listening to me? There was a businessman struggling in his church. Pastor testifies, a church in Texas, actually, Dallas, Plano area. And he says business. And he went to the pastor and was asking him about, you know, pray for the finance. Pray for my finances. Pray for my finance. And as the pastor was praying to, the Holy Spirit, everybody said the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit revealed to his heart, hey, look at your tithing record, buddy. Look at your tithing record. And he looked back and said, Pastor, wait. The Holy Spirit told me to check my tithing record. He looked, he hadn't been given for 90 days. He was struggling. Everybody say struggling.
Struggling.
He was struggling. And he started tithing. Business took off. Phew. Everybody say obey.
Divine instruction.
Third situation was a man who had a businessman. He was a pastor, actually, and he hadn't tithed in 30 days. He was trying to get his businesses going. He had businesses on the side. He had business ventures. He was a very sharp guy, but he got stuck. Everybody say, get unstuck.
Get unstuck.
And get on God's program.
Get on God's program.
Amen. Point number three. Are you here with me?
Yes.
Point number three. Giving is prioritized by Jesus as a transformational moment in your spiritual journey. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Now, we said faithfulness starts with these three areas. Be generous. It starts with your tithing and your offering giving. And then secondly, be willing and obedient to give offerings and alms as the Lord directs you. Generosity starts with 10% tithing. You got to go back and look at your tithe and see, am I giving 10%? And don't give me the excuse, I can't afford to do it. I'm telling you right now, on October 28th, you can't afford not to do it. All of us need the blessing that comes with the tithe. We all need the benefit of the protection and the provision that comes with the tithe. And then be willing and obedient to give offerings and alms. And then third, be a good steward. Everybody say, be a good steward.
Be a good steward.
Because it's, sometimes we have a consumption of something that means everything comes in my hand is for me to consume. No, you have to be thinking about, Lord, I dedicate this to you. Now, I know you told me to give this much. And so I start with that. And then I'm listening to you to tell me what else to do. Amen. And then I'm going to be a good steward and not just blow all my money and spend all my money. I'm going to be a steward, manage my money.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, remember to be faithful means you're trustworthy and reliable and dependable to manage the things. In this case, manage the Lord's money in the way he wants you to manage it. See, how do we handle the money God has put in our hands? What do we learn in Luke 16? Why did the steward get fired? He couldn't be trusted with managing his owner's money. He was unfaithful. Jesus said, money is the least area of trust in God. In other words, money tells the truth of who you and what you trust. All you got to do is follow the money. It's a litmus test of our trust. Follow the money. Everybody say, follow the money. Turn somebody else, say, follow the money. Are you wearing your tithes? Are your tithes in your wallet, in your house, in your technology? Well, praise the Lord. Point number four, giving differs from what we have. The measurement of success is universal. It is faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. Luke 16:12 says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man, who will give you that which your own? See, God's desire for each of us, our lives, is prosperity, abundance, increase. However, we must qualify for it with our willingness and obedience to put the Lord's kingdom first and not our wants and needs. The reason he gives you more so you can do more.
Amen.
Not just so you can have more. God wants everybody in here rich. Now, that doesn't mean $1 million. That means abundantly supplied, full provision. That means you have full provision for what you need and what you require. Your wants are fulfilled. But he wants you to do more if you have more. He wants you to get more so you can do more, not just to have more. Woo-wee. Some people say, well, when I get that $65,000 a year job, when I get $75,000 a year, I'm going to give more. No, it's the test, the litmus test is what you do with the less, the little.
Amen.
Amen. Passing the test of obedience positions you for increase and prosperity. Passing the test of obedience positions you for increase and prosperity. God doesn't ask me to be faithful over what you have, but over what I have. In other words, we can't compare each other. I can't compare myself to this sister and say what she has to be faithful with what she has. I have to be faithful with what I have. You can't look at me cross-eyed and say, well, he can give more because he has more. Everybody's accountable to be faithful.
Amen.
You don't get to say, I don't have as much. You don't get to say, my little is more than others much. Because if you have a lot, some people say, well, that's good enough. And they have a tithing limit or a giving limit. They say, well, I gave enough. But it's not even 10% because you have more. I always watch that because when people get wealthy or more increased, they tend proportionally to give less because they're spending more.
Amen.
Amen. But you don't just increase to have more. God wants you to increase so you can have more, so you can do more.
Amen.
So you can give more.
Amen.
Somebody say glory to God. And that's where people start derailing from the stewardship standards because they lowered the standard and says, well, I make more, so I don't have to give as much. So we said, if your giving's not increasing as your income has increased, if it's not plateauing, it's not flatline, it is actually decreasing. And God wants to increase you more and more. That reason you need to take very, very keen notice with the Holy Spirit and examine your giving level and your giving record. The kingdom of God doesn't measure your worth, and heaven doesn't even care about what you have. It measures your value and your worth by what you give.
Amen.
Amen. You don't get to say, I don't have as much. You don't get to say, my little is more than others. I make a lot. No, you get to be faithful. Everybody say, I get to be faithful. See, God is not lowering the standards of faithfulness, nor is he grading us on a curve. We used to have those students in class in college, and some of those people who were always average students, always trying to just get by, just eke by. John probably remembers in his studies at UTSA. And those people say, well, they always look at the curve. Are you going to grade on a curve? What? You didn't study. They want extra credit for the effort that they're not putting forth. They want you to curve down so I can pass with a C. I can get by with a B. And some of those excuse makers and excuse making are asking God, are you going to grade faithfulness on a curve? You know I got stuff going on. You know I'm building, I'm blessing. I've got extensions, I've got responsibilities, I've got all this going on in my life. You going to grade me on a curve on my giving? You going to grade that curve financially on that curve? You know what I got going on, Lord. Come on, give me a fist bump. Boop, boop, boop. No, he's not grading on a curve. Because those are the technical givers. They say, well, I make a lot now, so I'm just going to start giving off the net instead of the gross. And I got over $1,000 deductions going to medical insurance and life insurance and pre-tax deductions and 401k and retirement. And you got all this stuff taken off the top. And you say, well, God, this is left over. This I'm tithing off of this, the net. You going to grade me on a curve? Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
You don't get graded on a curve to get a passing grade. Everybody in this room should be wanting to hear, well done, now good, and what?
Faithful.
So faith is when we trust God. Faithfulness is when God trusts us. Point number 5. Giving is an act of saying less with God is better than more without God. Less with God is better than more without God. Everybody say that with me.
Less with God
is better than more without God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. It's simply important to put God, the things of God first. See, the giving reality is this. If you don't budget around God, then God won't be able to help you with your budget.
Amen.
That's why we had you do the giving goals and the giving record, because you need to write down your agreement with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, in your own personal prayer life, what my budget's going to be like. If you don't budget around God, then God won't be able to help you with your budget.
Amen.
Proverbs 13:16, Living Bible says, the wise man thinks ahead, but a fool doesn't even brags about it. They always run around, flipping around, saying, I ain't got no money, I ain't got this, I can't do this, I can't get there, I can't go do this. You're always telling excuses. In other words, you're saying, God grade me on a curve, because you know my situation. Preach it, Pastor. You're doing real good today. Hallelujah. I am. Praise God. I encourage myself in the Lord. Point number 6. Giving is a treasure statement telling you what's most important in my heart.
Amen.
Giving is a treasure statement telling what is most important in my heart. In other words, don't lay up treasure for yourself in the earth. Matthew 6:19, you see the scripture where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break through and steal. Unfortunately, two people are saying that their saving systems will outperform God's sowing or giving system. They got their closets stacked up with treasure. They got their garages stacked up with treasure. They got stuff. They become stuffaholics, statusaholics, securityaholics, and they're saying, well, I have a lot. Well, your giving statement, your treasure statement tells you what's more important. That means money tells the truth. Your saving system doesn't outperform God's sowing system. It should be your giving record that's most important to you, not your living status. Woo! Help me out now. I'm almost done. Now let's look at generosity, another look at it real quick. We're going to close with these. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about generosity. And why is that important? Because it's important for us to be generous. What's interesting is in the context in which he spoke about generosity, these two stories tell the truth. The woman with nothing and the man with everything. Now Luke 21 tells us about the woman who put in two mites. She said she put in, poor widow. So he wasn't lying. He wasn't whopper telling. He said she put in more than all. Luke 19 says Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was rich. He's a wealthy man. Stood and said, Lord, look, I give half my goods to the poor. He's a 50% giver. Wow. He said, if I've taken anything from anybody by false accusation, I restore fourfold. That means he gets accused of embezzlement wrong because he's a tax collector. And so he says, I give him back fourfold. That's a good man, isn't he? Amen. Well, Jesus wants us to be generous like this, like the widow and the tax collector. Many people, natural inclination is to think the context will change with his response. Will change his response. So they think the context, well, she's poor. He expected her to give. He said the other guys just tipped. Yes. They just threw in of their abundance. They can afford to give that little extra, little $5, $10, $20. But God's looking where? At the heart. Generosity is the standard. Amen?
Amen.
See, to the widow, Jesus said, I know what you're going through, and you're not forgotten. He said, this will always be remembered. He always remembers your giving. The Lord always remembers giving. The tax collector said, I know how much you have, but I know you really need. He said, you need to give me your life to me. So he told Zacchaeus in Luke 19:8-9, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything for anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation. Everybody said today.
Today.
Salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. Salvation comes to your house when there is generosity. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has not come to seek and save, but which is lost. Where there is generosity, he seeks to save the lost. God moves when there is generosity. The one thing that stops God moving is stinginess and greediness and selfishness. What is the first quality? We said here just before, Kenneth Hagin was asked. He got it from the Lord, I believe. I trust that he did. He said, what's the first quality you look for in a leader? He said, generosity. Because if a person is not generous, they will stop the move of God in any ministry or any church. What examples we have? We have the good example of Cornelius. His prayers and his money came up before God. He wasn't even saved. But he gave much alms, the Bible says, to the people. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a Gentile. He wasn't even a Christian. But he was a giver. And his generosity and his prayers came up to God as a memorial. God says, go get that guy saved. He sent an angel to him and says, Cornelius, your prayers are heard and your generosity, your giving has come up before God. He wasn't even a Christian. Are you listening to me? And he told him to go to Peter's house to go find out. He brought his whole family. Generosity tells the truth of what your heart is like. Follow the money. Check your checkbook. Are you listening to me? Now, we see the opposite example of selfishness and stinginess that stopped the move of God. You see Achan in the book of Joshua. They're going into the promised land. You can think of it in context and where we are. We go into the building. We don't stop being generous just because we got in the building. We don't start holding back and holding on and holding, burying our, like he did. He buried the Jericho treasure that was supposed to be devoted. That's what we call the tithe, the first fruits. The first fruits were supposed to be, of increase, was supposed to be devoted to who? The Lord, to the temple. Come to the church. You don't touch that. He called it a cursed thing. If you touch it, you cursed. That must, you know what? God doesn't curse you. You put a curse on yourself. And what happened? They couldn't even get past a tiny little obstacle army called Ai. He only sent 300 people out there. He said, "This is a small group of people. We can take this." And they got their butts kicked. They got some people killed. We see Ananias and Sapphira, another bad example, opposite example of selfishness and stinginess and greediness. And they went in and lied in the middle of the church and said, "Well, this is what we got." It was a generosity spirit moving through the church. Why? Because the new church needed to be established with what? Finances. They need to have funds to be able to do and set up the ministry, just like we have to at the church. And then what had happened? They went in and started lying, started giving excuses, started saying, "God's grading on a curve. He doesn't care." And then what happened? They fell dead in church. Stopped the move of God. They were not going to stop the move of God because it was a new church going forward. And so the Holy Spirit says, "Well, you just got to come home early. You died pretty early. You ain't going to stop the move of God being stingy." Everybody say generosity. Everybody say, lift one hand and say, "Lord, help me be generous all the rest of my days." Come on, lift your hand. Say it again. Say, "Lord, help me have me a generous mind and a generous heart and a generous lifestyle in Jesus' name." Amen, amen, amen. So let's get real. Jesus never envisioned a Christian without generosity. Amen. Are you generous? Jesus never envisioned a Christian without generosity. Freely you give, you freely receive. Matthew 10:8. Luke 10:38. Given shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it shall be in your bosom. With the same measure you use, it shall be measured back to you. Acts 10:35. You're not likely to go wrong if you keep remembering that our master said you're far happier giving than getting. Being a giver isn't good for the 100-yard dash, but it's valuable for a marathon. Faithful is not about making a big splash every once in a while, but making a difference with your giving and acts of generosity every week, every month, every year, and all life long. So don't just be a generous person when you got a little money that comes into your hands at one season, one moment of life. Be generous every day, every week, every month, every year, every season of your life. Amen. Be faithful. Isaiah 32:8 says, "But a generous man devises generous things. By generosity he shall stand." Galatians 6:7-8 says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." The Phillips translation says, "A man's harvest in life depends entirely upon that which he sows." So your seed determines your future. The seeds you today determine your future tomorrow. The seed of your time, your talent, your treasure, your financial resources determine your future. It may leave your life and leave your hand, but it'll never leave your life. Because your future is tied to your seeds. Amen. "For he who sows to the flesh will flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the spirit will spirit reap everlasting life." See, when Jesus comes to your house, it changes how you think about money. Jesus is here today. Amen. He told Zacchaeus in Luke 19:5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must come to your house." See, giving has to be intentional. Giving moves God. Giving starts a move of God. Why does God challenge us with this generosity giving challenge? Because he wants to start a move of God in this church. And it starts with all of us deciding and determining and devoting ourselves to being generous. Amen. Every week, every season, every month, every year, till Jesus comes home. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
God wants you to start giving generously today. Amen? Because a meaningful relationship with Jesus changes everything. Heart, head, and habits. Stand to your feet, please. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and the opportunity. Now, do you have your forms? We're going to dedicate them to the Lord. Pull them out. Go ahead and pull them out as you stand. Hallelujah. 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 If you need one, we'll have one to you. We can continue to pray and confess over them as the years go on. But we want you to be involved. That means I've committed. I'm devoted to doing what God says do. Amen. Everybody should be getting out of debt, living on a budget, living on less than what you make, believing God for increase, believing God to give and receive. Amen. Praise God. Say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege for you to help me with my financial management and my financial stewardship faithfully and generously. And so we dedicate this vision that you place in our heart, these goals that we have written down. We stand in agreement and alignment in faith believing and faith expecting to receive everything that you put before us to accomplish and achieve by your grace and by your help and by your wisdom. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for every one of my goals that you've given me to press toward. They will be made. They will be achieved. They will be accomplished. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. Everybody said amen. 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 Now, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. John is